much of it, Titus is a bit, AJ, somewhere, turn us down a little bit, I think. Just a little bit. There's so much about our world and the things that we have and our computers and all that, that it's just amazing what we can find out. And Steve just really opened up the sides of power for us this morning to see how man has created a tremendous amount of power, both through computers and through the lights that we enjoy and this thing that's working today. I want to share with you today a couple of verses of scripture that are very simple, that we use all the time, and maybe we don't know what they mean. So I wonder if we could do it. We're going to talk about the Shema. I don't know whether you know much about the Shema. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 to 6. And it goes like this: Shema Israel, Adonai Eloyu, Adonai Echad, which is Hebrew for Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That particular statement is the greatest commandment that God ever made. It's a combination of two commandments, and it's one of those that we want to look at today and just share with. Greatest commandment, Shema, is regarded as the greatest commandment ever given by God to Israel and to us. Jesus also declared that the central part of this commandment is first on his list of priorities. The Shema means listen and obey. Nothing in Jewish life is more hallowed than saying these words, the Shema, to recite them twice daily and observed by all good Judaized Jews. All those that acknowledge God, to declare him. This commandment, you shall have no other God before me. No other God before me. It's absolute, forthright statement. It's paramount that every Jew and every Christian would obey it. This other one is one that we use all the time. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all your mind. When Jesus was asked what was the most important commandment, we know that he gave the same one, a little bit different from Mark chapter 12. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Then he added the second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself, from Mark chapter 12. Now, love the Lord your God with all your heart. How much of that do you understand? Just think about it. Love the Lord with all your heart. Where's your heart? This pump here on your chest? How can you love God with that? How can you? It's a part of the operation of your body. How can you love God with all your heart? Let us try to understand the depth of meaning that God is using in this particular word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. So what is he talking about? So I've been doing this for years, using that verse of scripture, use it all the time. And so I thought, well, it was given by God, so it would have been the Hebrew language. They changed the Hebrew language to Greek. So you would go to the Greek to find out what the heart is. The heart in Greek is a cardia, so spelt with a K. But if we go to our English language, of course, it's cardiology, cardiac arrest. And so we've got the same word, but cardia in the Greek means a whole lot more. Than the heart. And I thought, wow, well, what does cardia mean? So I set out to find out what does cardia really mean? Well, it means our innermost thoughts, our secrets, our feelings. The heart controls this cardia. Heart controls our intent and our will. I thought, wow. It controls our purpose, our inclinations, and our desires. But wow, this really means a lot of things. The heart controls our disposition, our temperament, and our character. God used the right word, didn't he? The heart is the seat of our emotions, of our love and of our affections, our feelings and our devotion. The heart is the center of our whole being, of our whole physical being, cardia. It's a simple word. We can put those two words together, I guess. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. So the love and the heart, we've got agape love and the cardia, love your God with all your cardia. How about that? But look at all you have to offer. And God says, I want from you your heart, your soul, and your mind. And I want it all. I want it all. So everything that you are, everything that I am, God says, they're mine. I want you to love me with everything you have, everything you are. Love me with an agape love. Not agape, but God, that's God's given love, but agape our love, that we give him that from our cardia, from our whole life, from all that we are, all that we will ever be, and nothing less. God says he demands it. He demands it from us. So let's stop for a little while and ask God to bless us. Father, we give you thanks because you want us to love you. You want us to love you with all that we are and all that we have. You want us to love you with your soul, with our soul. You want us to love you with our mind. You want us to love you with who we are. And Father, we pray that you might open the word fully to us, that we might truly find out how to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Amen. So God demands from us an agape love. I wonder how you mentioned this to the study on Thursday. How do we talk to God? If you do it like I do, well, it's probably an insult to God. But so often that I come into the office and just sit there, and we've got something heavy on our mind, family or someone else, and I straight away say to you, get in, look, God, where are you? Where are you? And we start, I just talk. And that's filial love. I'm just treating God as just my neighbor. How do we find the depth to step from filial love into agape love, to really find our way into God's presence? And it's important in prayer. I know in the churches today, and some of the evangelical churches are realizing that the church is falling away. It's in a terrible way worldwide and our country, and our churches are losing the relationship that we should have with an eternal God. Did I read not to you there? God says this is the greatest commandment I can ever give to you. The greatest commandment that I ever give to you. You shall have no other God before me, and you shall love me with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. It's a command. Not a delight, but a command to us to love him with all that we are. But think about it next time that you want to pray. And I would pray that you pray, that you are talking to God at least a couple of times a day. We need to talk with him. We need to get to know him. Because one day we're going to live with him. And we need to get to know God. So the principle of love is not merely empty words, but it's shown in action. How do you reach out to God? What's your thoughts when you come into the presence of God? Your affections and your feelings and your will. Do you really love him? With all the cardia that God gives you. Do you love him? If you do, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do we keep his commandments? Do we walk as he wants us to walk? Jesus said, love me. And it's a fundamental principle of God that you love him with all of your heart, with a real love. And the acid test is found in John 15. I am the vine, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What is the difference then between praying with the soul? What about the spirit? What is that? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. Your spirit, your soul, and your body, your heart, your cardia, and be preserved complete, all of it, and without blame, when you come before the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have to be ready to stand before God. Jesus said, watch, for you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. He could walk through the door any day. If it were to be a rapture, you'd be gone and have no opportunity to change your ways. We would be with him. So how does that love measure up with us? 1 to 10. You're the only one that knows that. You're the only one. So how do we love the Lord with all our soul? What is the soul? Do you understand that fully? Do you know what your soul is? Well, the soul is who you are. Who you are. And in the Greek, again, it's psuche. You love the Lord with all the psuche, all of your soul. So psuche has the meaning, the soul that God wants us to love him with is the soul that is made up of your entire intellect, of your entire passions, of your entire emotions, of all of your will, and everything that animates you or drives you through your life. God wants it and nothing less. That's a big demand. But God said it and made it as the biggest commandment that God could ever give. And he made that commandment for us when he met with the people at the foot of Mount Sinai. He gave them the rules and regulations. So how do you love him? Today many people tell us that the spirit and the soul are one. There's no really difference. Well, we know the spirit is pure and it's what God breathes into us. And the scripture tells us this. In Genesis 2:4, when God made man out of the dirt, says here, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which is the spirit, the pneuma. He breathed that breath into Adam's nostrils, just like he does to every child that is born today. The moment a child comes out of the womb, a pat on the back or whatever, and God breathes the breath of God. When we die, the breath of God goes back to God that gave it. He gave it to us to live. You take the breath away, your life is taken from you also. So God has done that for us. And so when he breathed the breath of God into Adam, he became a living soul. and he became a true man. So we know that with the puma, he becomes Pushe, a man that breathes. God wants us to communicate with him, to reach out to him. How do we do that? How do you reach out to God? God is a spirit. But then he says he's here with us. And we've talked about this, I think, last time that I spoke here. He came in with you this morning. And alongside of you, he is sitting today. He's actually here. It says so. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst. Do we really relate to him? Do we feel it and know that the presence of God is here? That's the important part of being a Christian. To know when he draws near. To know when he is here. To know when he is with us. How do we reach out to him? Because he is part of our lives, the Spirit of God lives within us. And I love the thought that God saw. Jesus spoke to us and he was talking about it. He said, God is with you and in you. And he went on to say, and I am with you and in you. And the Holy Spirit today is part of the Christian's life. He lives, he walks with you, and he lives in you. And we need to understand the nearness of God in us and how we respect and how we treat him. How can you love him with all of your heart, all of your kardia, and all of the Holy Spirit that comes with us? I love this in Colossians 6, verse 18. God said, I will be your father, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. Do you like that? You can be a son or a daughter of God. How near can you get to him? Wait a minute. Romans 8:17. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything you see, everything you can touch, and everything you can hold will be part of yours because you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And one day, if you're the bride of Christ, you will be part of him. How true can that be, that God lives with us and in us? But wait a minute, there's more. Revelations 5:10. He has made us to be kings and priests, and you shall rule on the earth. That's God's promise to you. Do we have any understanding of what God has prepared for us while we walk on this earth? He's been laying it all out, preparing it for you and for me. God is God. Don't you think then that we need to love him in a very special way? We need to understand how we pray. Intimate praying. Praying with God, to God. We should always be continued in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is with us and in us, then surely we can reach out to him moment by moment, every day. God requires of us on a regular basis our intellect, our passion, our emotions, and our will, and everything that drives us. And place all of that into your day. Place all of that into your life. That you are walking with an internal God, a God that created everything that you see around you. He is the one that loves you and wants you to love him. Often we speak of the soul as the inner man or the inner woman, who we really are, what sort of a person you are to your friends, what sort of a person are you in your workplace, what about our character and the things that we say and the things that we do. How do we present ourselves in this world around about us? It is our soul that God requires of us. When he takes the soul, he takes our life. When he takes our breath, he takes our life. When we come into the presence of God, he is saying to us, to speak to him, to share with him our heart. Is it a big task to talk to God? Is it difficult to come into his presence? How do we do that? What about the mind? How can you love the Lord your God with all of your mind? What is it? What is the mind? It's not just the brain. The mind is the ability to think, to make decisions, to use all the other faculties that we have, including our consciousness, imaginations, our precepts, our thoughts and our judgments and our language and our memory. All of that is part that we share with God, and God said, yep, that's mine too. I need you to offer that to me. Is it important for God to be with us in our going out and our coming in? Do we take him with us wherever we go? There's a poem out, I think we got about a dozen prints of it. We took it out some time. If Jesus came to your house, if he did, would he get the welcome that you could give him by loving him with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind? Is it important to speak with God? In Romans 12:2, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, because it's your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. Do we conform to this? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you, you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and accepted, perfect. What does the Lord require of us besides all of this? To be a children of God? So how do we present ourselves to him? Philippians 2:1-2 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What does it all mean? It's easy to read the Bible. It's easy to read it, but what does it say? Perhaps if we go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, and because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We gain our strength. All our soul functions, all our minds, all our emotions, all our will is to do with our personal relationship with God. If we don't have a personal relationship with God, then we have nothing. We have five senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste and touch. And all those are gifts of God for us to learn and to reach out and to use in our lifetime. Lord, Jesus said to us to love him with our heart, our soul and our mind. And in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom having not seen, you love, into whom, though not seeing him at present, yet believing you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. We don't see God. He's not just there at the front door. He's not in our house, but he is. But we don't see him. The Lord Jesus said that we are to love him. Agape love. Reaching out to him, heart, soul and mind, that we might become a whole person. It's a mystery how to know God. In 1 Peter 1:8 it says, whom having not seen, you love, into whom, though not seeing him at present, yet believing, you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. For one day we will see him face to face. How can we love someone we haven't seen? How do we love God with all our heart, with all our soul and all of our mind, all of our strength? Do we have the ability? Do you have the ability to love God like that? No, we don't in our own strength have that ability. But it's knowing him and allowing the presence of God to live in you. Jesus living in us, not just with us, but in us, that we then have a whole heart and a whole soul and a whole mind and a whole strength, something that God gives us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The Shema says, my people, I am the Lord your God. The Lord is one. It says, love me with all that you have, every ounce of your emotions, every ounce of your respect, every ounce of your affections. As we give him our heart, we reach out to the agape love right now. He reciprocates by coming into our life to change us. How can you become a whole new creation? God says, I will make you into a whole new creation. Old things are all gone, passed away. All things become new, and you become a new person in Christ Jesus. Can we then trust in the Lord with all our heart? Can we trust him and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths? That's all God calls of us and asks of us. A last friendly warning. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago at our Bible study. The Ephesian church were doing okay, but, the Bible says, but, I have somewhat against you. You have lost your first love. Do you still love the Lord Jesus Christ today, on the same day as you stepped out of a pew somewhere, or you found Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you still love him today as that much? In that same way, we need to love the Lord with all our kardia, everything that we have, with all of our soul, everything that we know, love him with our mind, who we are, soul and mind, everything. Give him your all, not half, but all. Father, we give you thanks. You are a wonderful God. You sent a wonderful Saviour to us to become part of our lives. You live within us, and today I pray that for each one that is here today, we might go away from this place knowing that we have a God, a Saviour, that we can communicate with, that we can love him with not just a heart, but with a kardia, with everything that we are. We can become a new person, living for you, expecting you, and one day we will be with you for all eternity. Bless your people today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.